B'shus Rav David Shlita.
Okay.
B'shus Rav David Shlita.
Rav Stein Shlita.
And Mr. Malinowitz and Luna's family. And Kala Kadosh. Here. Thank you for coming to this evening. And Sanaskara for the third year site of Marin Rabin, Rav Chaim Zev, Ben Rav Avram Aharon Halevi, Linowitz Zecher, Tzadik Libracha. I just want to say a specific thank you to the Rebbetzin, Linowitz, and the family, Linowitz family, for coming tonight on the Yurt site itself. You certainly could have done your own family Haskara or something else, but the fact that you're here and you came and you're with us tonight is very, very meaningful. And moving in many ways for all of us. And the truth is, Haskara really could have been in many different locations. It could have been in Lower East Side, Philly, Far Rockaway, Muncie, Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh, anywhere where someone in the world is learning an art scroll. And I'm sure there are many, many more locations where there are people where Rav Malinowitz Zatzal made a major imprint on their lives. There are many, many Yidden all over the world today who were zoche and benefited from the wisdom and caring and guidance of the Rav Zatzal. Mamish, everywhere in Hashem's world. But yeah, we're having it here in Beis Tefila Yon Avram, Ramat Beit Shemesh, which perhaps is very, very fitting. Of all places, as this was the Rav Zatzal's makom, where he spent endless and endless hours and days and nights and weeks and months and years and tirelessly just giving and giving and giving of himself in every single way, shape, and form. It's our zechus, it's our honor, it's our responsibility to appreciate all that the Rav Zatzal gave and continues to give to us. To continue the voda that he lived for and to live the lessons and the life that he demonstrated to us and pushed us to live and to achieve. And to carry on his life-changing legacy for us and for future generations. For years and years to come. Bezras Hashem. It's not my covet to call upon Mordor Asar Rav David Shlita.
Mishus the Rebbetzin and the outstanding Mishpachat Malinowitz. At the outset, I acknowledge my inadequacy in saying Dibre Hespet for the esteemed Rav of Beis Tefila Zatzal, but I will try to be Meitzitz Min HaCharakim, peer through the lattices and share one or two observations. One of the outstanding vignettes that I heard about the Rav, Hagon Rav Chaim Zev Malinowitz Zatzal, was the following. He was the general editor of Art Scroll for several decades, a gargantuan responsibility, shouldered by a Gavra Rabba with broad shoulders for a substantive block of time. At a certain juncture in his life, several decades ago, he decided to make Aliyah. Anyone who's out courant with the American scene knows full well that a prominent Rav and great Talmud Chacham, an outstanding Dayan, ensconced in an extraordinary position as general editor of Art Scroll, would almost be committing Harry Carey, a kind of ritual suicide practiced by the Japanese Samari to make Aliyah. I heard from my brother-in-law, Agoyin HaTzadik Rav Michal Wiener Zatzal, a friend and colleague of Rav Malinowitz, that indeed the Art Scroll family thought that he had, let's speak politely, diverted from the course. The Art Scroll administration attempted to sway and encourage him to remain in the United States, but he and his distinctive stalwart and decisive fashion, decided to move forward in his classical, emboldened methodology. When Rav Lutz Zatzal made a decision that was accompanied by all the due aforethought that was necessary, he then proceeded to Darko Bakodesh to go full steam ahead. At a certain point, he was told that they had no choice but to sever their ties with him, since the Offscroll is a United States-based enterprise, and someone of his stature and caliber can only operate from within the United States' geographical environs. That did not deter the Rav even one iota, even though his parnasa was on the line. Ever since I heard that, I have not ceased to be amazed by his forbearance, by his tenacity, by his solidity on this issue. After an interlude, Otskroll, in their scintillating wisdom, realized they had relinquished and ceded the services and talents of an outstanding, extraordinary Talmud Chacham, which Chazal said, the Gemara in Hur Yosef Gimel, Talmud Chacham Shemeis Ein Lo Tzmura. There's no replacement for a Talmud Chacham of that stature. Upon realizing this, they decided to reinstate him, even though he was now living in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine such a nace. Someone living in Eretz Yisrael and can still work for Otskroll. Purely employed. Rav Milanowitz's bitachon was sweet generous. He lived, breathed, and infused others with the esod of Rav Chaim Balozhiner, Ein od milvado. The only factor in my life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. He runs the show. Besides his unparalleled love of Eretz Yisrael, there's one other overriding love and passion in his life, and that was Mo Ahavti Toresecha Kol Hayom Yisrichasi, an affection, devotion, infatuation for Talmud Torah that clearly was the elixir of his life and consumed and engulfed him 24/7. What is the nature of this hybrid of Eretz Yisrael and Torah? Are they disparate entities, or are they inexorably intertwined in a romantic partnership that is unparalleled? My Rebbe, Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal, often noted that in Parshas Yisro, the first articulation of the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah there states, Ki li kol haaretz. The Torah is ubiquitous, universal, not limited to any specific geographic locus. However, in Parshas Vayeschanan, and in general in all Sefer Dvarim, it's patently obvious that Eretz Yisrael is the epicenter of all Tanakh, and ultimately the authentic home of every single Jew. The passion of the Ramban for Eretz Yisrael, the Mesiras Nefesh the Ramban demonstrated to get here, and in general the Ramban's overall hashkafa regarding Eretz Yisrael, this is the makom for the Ikar Kiyum HaMitzvos, not only mitzvahs atluyos baretz, but mitzvahs she'enen atluyos baretz. Those are the steps that Rav Milanowitz Zatzal trailblazed in the wake of Maisa Ava Simon Laban. I would like to trace these aforementioned elements of Eretz Yisrael and Torah to a Gemara Nedarim, which not coincidentally is the Daf Yomi of today, on Daf Chav Beis, a striking Gemara. The Gemara cites a pasuk in Dvarim. V'agoyim ha'em lo sargiya, v'lo yamanoach lechaf raglecha, v'nasan Hashem l'cho Hashem, lev ragoz, v'chayon einayim v'dam ha'am nofesh. Let's provide some sort of translation. And among those nations, you will not be tranquil. There'll be no rest for the sole of your foot. Hashem will give you lev ragoz, a trembling heart, chilyon einayim, longing of eyes, v'davar nefesh, suffering of soul. The Mashal has a striking comment in this Gemara. I read the lashon of the Mashal. Ki ha'yetzer hara sholeit b'chutz la'aretz yosef mi'eretz Yisrael. The context of the Gemara is Kas. The Gemara has a litany of Mamre Chazal regarding Kas. And the Mashal says the Yetzer Hara is far stronger in Chutz La'aretz than it is in Eretz Yisrael. V'akas hu mimidos Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara comments on this pasuk. V'nasar Hashem l'cha shom lev ragoz. Shom means in Babel. Shom means in Chutz La'aretz. Shom means in Flatbush. Shom means in Chicago. Shom means in Teaneck. Shom means in L.A. In Great Neck. Upon the heels of this is another striking Gemara. Amar Avada Rav Chanina, Il Moli Lachotu Yisrael, Lo Nita Naim Elach HaMishichum Shetera V'Sefer Yoshua Bilba. Very famous Gemara. had Klal Yisrael not sinned, we only would have been given the Chamishuchim Sheteira and Sefer Yehoshua. Why, says the Gemara? She'erka shel Eretz Yisrael hi. What does that mean? The Ran explains, the thrust of all the Nevi'im is to give Musa Teichachat to chastise, to reprove Knesset Yisrael for our wayward behavior. Had we not sinned, we will not require any Teichachat. We would suffice with Chamishuchim Sheteira and Sefer Yehoshua, say the Rishonim. Sefer Yehoshua delineates the contours of Eretz Yisrael for each Shevet. In a remarkable tshuva, the author of the Shus Yankev asked the following question on this Gemara. The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Makos states, famous Mishnah, we say it all the time, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, L'fikach Hir Bo Lahem Toru Mitzvos, Shenema Hashem Chofetz Aman Tzidko, Yagdil Toru V'Yadim. The Magen Avraham HaShulchan Aruch HaRachayim cites a long-standing minhag to say this Mishnah after learning and after Pirkei Avos. Here the Mishnah states unequivocally that any incremental Torah learning, here b'olam Torah mitzvahs, Tanakh, mitzvahs, is designed to confer upon us more merits. And yet the Gemara in the Dorim that we just read presupposes, assumes otherwise, that it's a burden and a kind of punishment. Ask the Shus Yankov, astir min eubeh. An outright contradiction between the Sugi Nedarim and Chabez and the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Makos. He offers three answers to this question. I had a problem today. I'm not computer literate. I'm an Amoris, the Haisa, the Rabbonim, and I have a Shus Yankov. I couldn't find it. I spent 2.5 hours looking for it. And so I'm just relying on my memory, what I saw many years ago. One answer is, he says, Leka midi delor miza baraisa. There's nothing that's not Ramos in the Torah. The entire corpus of the Nevi'im is alluded to in the Torah. Had we not sinned, we would have extrapolated all Nevi'im and Ksuvim from the Torah itself. As we know, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Hafochba v'Hafochba dekulaba, the early generations, the Doros HaRishonim, fulfilled the entire Torah, even Kodesh Shenitna, because they were steeped in righteousness and tzidkus. The Mishnah writes, Kiyim Avram Avinu, Kol HaTorah Kula, Kodesh Shenitna, the Ramban cites a famous Medrash Chazal, Kloyos Novos. So that's one approach, said the Shus Yankov, to resolve this contradiction. Everything is Ramos in the Torah. Had we not sinned, we would be able to extract all the Yisaitas and Devi Miksuvim from Chamishichum Sheiterah and Sevi Yoshua. But the second answer to me is incredibly more striking. He writes over there, had we not sinned, we would only need Chamishichum Sheiterah and Sevi Yoshua. Because he says over there, Ikar Schar HaTorah Hu Nesinas HaAretz. The focus and thrust of the reward of the Torah is Eretz Yisrael. And that's the pasuk in Tehillim we're all familiar with. Almost as if Torah is a tznai to our ability to live in Eretz Yisrael. Vayitei lehem arzos goyim v'amal lu'umim yiroshu b'avur yishu chukah v'tares v'din tzorim. The gift of Eretz Yisrael is contingent solely on our observance of Torah and mitzvahs. The entire Torah in the optimal world revolves around Eretz Yisrael. Had we not sinned, there would be no need for Nevi'im Miksuvin. And I believe this idea is borne out by Chazal. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not erred, he would have entered Eretz Yisrael with us. Mashiach would be here, and we'd all be sitting, Ish tachas gafno v'ish tachas denoso. The third approach of the Shus Yankov is incredibly expansive. He writes that the Torah is Rechavim Ineyam, Arukum Eretz Midah, the Pasuk at Iyov. It was given to us as a schus to expiate for our averos, and he cites a Medrash Tanchuma that I did look up. Amar Avuna, Ein Odom Belo Yisurin. There's no individual who's not subject to Yisurin, different types of Rachman Litzlan, physical Yisurin, Choshesh Beshino, and Yeholisha. Person has a pain in the tooth, he can't sleep. Choshesh Be'enov, and Yeholisha. A pain in the eye, he's not able to sleep. Yogea Batorah, and Yoshin. He toils in the study of Torah, not able to sleep. So the Medrash says, Ze'er V'ze'er. The one with the physical Yisurin, he's awake, He's alert. The other one is Yogi Abatara. He's also awake, also alert. Oy! Ashri Agever Asher Tiyasvenu Ko Umitarascha Tlamdenu. Happy is the Jew that the Ribbono Shel is Meyaser him and he studies Torah and the Medrash ends. She Yisurim Heim Belimud HaTorah. Those are his Yisurim in the study of Torah, in the Amol Shel Torah, in the Torah that's involved. When Klal Yisrael sinned, the yoke of Torah was increased, was intensified. More Nevi'im, more Ksuvim, more Torah, more Mitzvahs. Yosef Das, Yosef Machov. Through the yoke of Torah, the yoke of Golus will be lifted from us till we realize Umol Haaretz Deyas Hashem Kamayim Leyom Mechasim. Sefer Yoshua, Kayadua, is totally focused on Eretz Yisrael. The Rav Zatzal, Rav Chaim Milinowitz, saw this juxtaposition of Torah and Eretz Yisrael as being the utopian ideal. He maxed out on both. An unbelievable love of Eretz Yisrael expressed in many different ways. That I thought I would discuss as well, but that would be another half hour after I looked into the matter. But even more, his unbelievable devotion to Talmud Torah mentioned earlier by Rav Tzvi that encompasses the entire neshama. Yodua, the term Marasha, appears twice in Tanakh. Mefarshim mentioned this, beginning of Sefer Shmos. V'nosati yisolachem Marasha ani Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is Marasha par excellence. And at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Torah tzivu lanu Moshe, Marasha kilas Yaakov. Torah and Eretz Yisrael are not a Yerusha, but a Marasha that require enormous Mesiris Nefesh, indefatigable Amola, endless Bitochom. They're indeed inextricably intertwined. Such was the essence, such was the epicenter of this quintessential Rav Zatzal, Rav Chaim Zemelinowitz. May his memory be a bracha for all of us. May his chusim continue to redound lanetzach in the hearts and minds of all of Klal Yisrael, lanetzach nitzachim, amen v'amen.
We now make a siyum on Shas Mishnayos. L'Gunashmas Harachayim Zev Ben Rav Aram Aram Levizitzel. I want to thank all those who learned one or multiple Masechtas to make sure that we had the siyum. And I want to call upon a Kehillah member, David Stein, particularly to make the siyum. David, once he saw the email go out and you know, the request to have Siyum made, he really took it to heart and took upon himself to make sure, calling people, emailing people, that we were Messiah everything, every last Masechta. And I want to call upon him. I just want to tell you, David, the Rav Zatzal will be very happy and proud of you as the Tati of making sure that this happened. So, David. After David makes the Siyum, Nechemiah will make, we'll say the Kaddish.
Okay, as my chelik to the learning, I'll read the last Mishnah in Kedushin. For the siyum on behalf of everybody who participated. Okay. Reb Yehuda Oimer Lo Ira Razak Behema Velo Yishnu Shnei Ravakim Betelis Achas V'Chachamim Matirin Kol She'isko Im Hanashim Lo Yisached Im Hanashim Velo Lelamed Adam Espino Umanus Bein Hanashim. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Leolam Yelamed Adam Espino Umanus Nikia Vikala, Bispalo Lilmi Sheha Oisher Vahanachasim Shalo, Shein Umanus Shein Ba Anios Vashirus, Shalo Anios Min Haumanus, Lo Ashirus Min Haumanus, Ela Hakol Lefi Zahuso. Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Oimer, Raisa Miamecha Chaya Vaov, Sheshlahem Umanus, Behem Mis. Parnasin shlo b'tzar, v'halo lo nivru ella l'sham sheni v'ani nivresi l'shamish es koni, eno din she'es parnes shlo b'tzar ella shehay re osi ma'asai v'kipachti es parnasasi. Aba Gurion ish, tzaydan oimer, nishum aba Gurya, lo lamed adam es beno chamar, gamo sapar sapan roe v'chenvani, shu umanusan umanus listim. Rabbi Yehuda oimer mishmo, ha-chamarin ruban rishayin, v'ha-gamalin ruban kesherin, v'ha-sapanim ruban chasidim, tov sheha-rofim legehinim, v'ha-kasher shabatabachim shutafu shel amalek. Rabbi Nehore oimer, maniach ani kol umanios, shabayilam ve'eni melamed espini ela toira, shadam ochel mis chara ba'olam hazeh, v'hakirin kayyamas la'olam haba, ushar kol umanios einan kein, kishadam ba lidei choli, o lidei zikna, o lidei yisorin, ve'eno yachol la'asok bimelachto, harihu meis bera'av, aval ha'toira eina kein, ela misham ratu mikol ra, Bina Aruso, Bino Senes Lo Acharis, Visikva Visik Nuso, Bina Aruso, Mahu Omer, Vikoye Hashem, Yachalifu Koach, Visik Nuso, Mahu Omer, Od Yanuvon Beseva, Behenhu Omer, Be Abraham Avinu Allah, Shalom, Be Abraham Zakain, Vahashem Birach is Abraham Bako, Matinu Shaasa Abraham Avinu es Kohatora. Kula ad shalo nitana shina emar, ekev asher shama Abraham bekoli, v'yishmar mish marti mitzvosai hukukusai v'sorosai. Hadran alach meseches kedushin v'shisha sidrei mishnayos, v'hadra alan. Daitach alach meseches kedushin v'shisha sidrei mishna, Daitach Alan, Lo Nis Neshe Minach Seder Minach Mesechis Kedushin Vishisha Sidre Mishnah Vila Sit Neshe Minan La Be Alma Hadain Vila Be Alma De Ase Hadran Allah Mesechis Kedushin Vishisha Sidre Mishnah Vihadrach Alan Daitach Allah Mesechis Kedushin Vishisha Sidre Mishnah Vidaitach Alan La Nis Neshe Minach Meseches Kedushin v'shisha sidrei Mishnah v'la sis neshe minan la be'alma hadein v'la be'alma de'ase. Hadran alach Meseches Kedushin v'shisha sidrei Mishnah v'hadrach alan daitach alach Meseches Kedushin v'shisha sidrei Mishnah v'daitach alan la nis neshe minach Meseches Kedushin v'shisha sidrei Mishnah v'la sis neshe minach v'la be'alma hadein v'la be'alma de'ase. Ha'arev na Adonai Eloheinu es divrei sarasecha b'finu v'fios amcha beis Yisrael v'nia kulanu anachnu v'te'etza'enu v'te'etza'ei amcha beis Yisrael kulanu u'dei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha lishma ne'oivai sechak meini mitzvosecha ki li'olam hi li yehi libam samim b'chukecha liman lo evosh li'olam lo eshkach pikudacha ki vam Chiyisani, Ruch Atoa Adonai Lamdeni Chukecha Amen 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 Salava Ed. Modim Anachnu Lefenecha Adonai Eloheinu Velohe Abuseinu, She Samta Chelkeinu Miyoshve Beis Hamidrash Velo Miyoshve Kranos She Anu Mashkimim Vehem Mashkimim Anu Mashkimi Lidivre Sora Vehem Mashkimim Lidivarim Vetelim Anu Amelim Vehem Amelim Anu amelim umekablim sachar v'heam amelim v'einam mekubalim sachar anu ratim v'heim ratim anu ratim l'chai ha'olam haba v'heim ratim libe'er shachas sh'ne'emar v'yata Eloheinu tordidem libe'er shachas anshe damim u'mirma lo yechetsu yimehem v'ani evtach bach Yehi ratzon nofenecho adonai lohai keshem she'azartani l'sayim meseches kedushin v'shisha sidrei mishnah kach ta'az reinu l'haschil sedarim v'sfarim acherim l'saimam l'ilmod l'lamid l'ishmor l'asos l'kaim es kol divrei tamru t'resecha b'yahava v'zechus kol ha'tanayim v'talmidei chachamim Behaniz Karim, Veseder, Nashim, Ta'amod, Li, Ulizari, Shiloh, Samush, Hatora, Mipi, Umipi, Zari, Vizera, Zari, Ad, Olam. Vikuyam, Bi, Vihis, Halech, lechecha tan che oscha b'shach b'cha sishmor alecha b'haki tzosa hi sishi. Sichecha, kivi yerbu yamecha yosifu lach shenos chaim. Orech yamim bimina bismoa osher b'chavod. Adnai oz liyamo yitain, adnai yivarech esamo v'shalom.
Skadeo b'yiskadei shmei rabah. B'yamod yuasin l'schadeto l'chayo meisayo l'asoko l'chayo mo. U'mevnei kartod yirushalem shachle l'ichalo b'gavah. Ulamekar Pulchanon Nukhra Mero, Lassova Pulchanon Shmaya Lasre, Amlukhu Shabrikhu Malchusevi Karei, Vachaye Chayin, Vemechayin, Vachaye the Chobes Israel, Bagolo, Vizman Kari, Vimru Amen. Yehei Shemei Rabba, Mivarach, Leolam, Lomel Maya, Yisvarach, Vishtabach, Vishvarvis, Imam Yisnasei, Vishadar, Vishalevi, Vishalosh, Shmei the Kuchabrikhu. Leilam in Kabar Chasav, Shirasat, Shmachasav, Nechamasad, Amiram, Biyamavim, Ramei. Ah, Yisrael, Varbanon, Val Tamideim, Akol Tamidei, Samideim, Akol Mandoskim, Barais, Aviasad, Kedisha, Demi, Divacha, Sar, Vassar, Yei, Lang, Lachain, Shlom, Rabba, Chinim, Chistarach, Mokhain, Rechim, Zainer, Vichei, Urfur, Konami, Kadam, Abuin, Rishmaya, Baravim, Ramei. Yei, Shlom, Rabbin, Shemaya, Vachayim, Alain, Vaka, Yisrael, Ramei. I say Shalom, Ramavi, I say Shalom, Alain, Vaka, Yisrael, Vimru, Amen.
And everyone. So as we mentioned, tonight we remember our dear beloved Rav Lono Zitzal. We keep his memory and his life lessons alive every day of our lives. Lives that the Rav didn't just touch, but which he penetrated deeply and elevated with everything he could possibly give to us. There are many people who can share memories and thoughts about and lessons from the Rav Zitzal. So many people who can look at their lives and their families and see the Rav there all the time. One special group of these people, the Rav had a very special and great affinity for and respect for, and was zocheh to develop a very strong and deep relationship with the Rav Zitzal, were the members of his women's shir in Cholos HaLevavos. When I was present at the shul, the Rav Zitzal would often quip, if only the men had the kochas and the drive as the women, wow, what a shul we'd have. One of those special women is Mrs. Miriam Knoll. Miriam Knoll had a very, very close link to the Rav, was a student par excellence of the Rav, and had a very, very big hand in putting out this pamphlet of the Chovos HaLevavos, Cheshbon HaNefesh, with the Rav's insights. Last year also showed us a way that you can keep the Rav's lessons in life with you every day. It's very, very brief. And someone actually came over to me and said that he actually was making a very, very significant life change in terms of his work schedule and everything else in order to try to learn more. And it all came about because he started learning this pamphlet once a day. We have more on the Bima, and I highly recommend it's literally a minute maybe of your day, and then maybe some more thinking about it, but it could really, really change your life for the better. So I asked Mrs. Knoll if she would share some of her thoughts and feelings about the Rav, and she graciously obliged, and I'm going to read to you what she wrote. It's hard to believe it's been 3 years since the Rav's Patira, given how much he is still a part of our day-to-day lives. Every so often I find myself thinking, what the Rav, would the Rav agree? Would the Rav approve? Would the Rav expect more? I'm sure you do too. It's become clear. The years of the Rav's teaching in Shiurim and by example have reshaped our outlook, like water dripping on a rock. More than that, the Rav's passion about men and women having equal access to the Bitachon workbook, as he called the Chovos HaLevavos, set a high standard for us all to live up to. There are no excuses. What really brought it home was the Rav's willingness to climb down into the trenches with us, working side by side, improving our midos, building our bitachon. As remarkable, truly superhuman as the Rav was, he was quintessentially human, openly discussing the areas in his life in which he saw room for improvement. He didn't portray himself as a gadol, whose way of living was unattainable for the rest of us, although in many ways, it certainly was. Rather, he showed us that if I can do it, you can do it, encouraging and commiserating with us along the bumpy way. Looking back on his third year at site, I'd like to touch on three points to take away as part of the Rav's legacy. First off the bat has to be chesed. The Rav was addicted to chesed. If something could be done to help someone in need, the Rav would not rest until it had been taken care of, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and I'll add financially. How did I meet the Rav? I was new to the neighborhood, unaffiliated with the shul, and had a shaila regarding my business. I was told that women could try reaching certain posts by phone during certain hours, certain days a week, or try emailing Rav Linowitz. I emailed the Rav, asked him if we could meet, and at the same time apologized for taking from his busy schedule. The Rav responded, "I am busy because I meet with people," and suggested a time to see him in the office the next day. The Rav did not know me, other than I was a Jew with a problem to be solved, and that was enough. He answered my shaila, gave me a bracha, and made me say amen out loud. Remember the power of amen. Of course, his bracha came true, and my problem resolved. If only we could trade our petty addictions to news and sports and shopping online for chesed. Second, no entitlement. The Rav drilled into our heads the fact that we do not come into the world entitled. We did nothing to deserve to be born, to be human, to be Jewish. Rather, we come into this world to serve our Creator and be thankful for all He has given us. The Rav was such an anav that when the lady shir bought him a comfortable, high-backed executive chair as a gift, he left it in the plastic wrap in the corner of his office and continued to use a plastic chair instead, remarking that he wasn't important enough for an executive chair. Third, gratitude. The flip side of no entitlement. The Rav lived Shara Bechina, teaching us to be grateful for every wondrous aspect of our existence. This past Simchas Torah, when I was missing the Rav terribly and davening to feel the same sense of connection, I picked a library book during a break in davening, open to a random story called The Power of Praise, and found, to my surprise, that the Rav was featured at the end. What's the story? A Jew in Eretz Yisrael woke up one morning blind in one eye. After doing the round of doctors here, he was instructed to fly to the top eye specialist in America. After examining his eyes, the specialist said that he needed an emergency operation or he risked losing sight in both eyes. The man told the doctor he needed a little time to think it over and returned with his answer later that day. He found the neighborhood shul, walked up to the Aron Kodesh, and began speaking to Hashem. Instead of begging Hashem for salvation, he found himself thanking Hashem for everything he'd done for him all of his life, from giving him a brain, hands, and feet, to his wife, his children, and so on. 3 hours later, after he'd finished pouring out his heart in praise, he made one small request. "Please heal my eyes so I can stand before you, Hashem, and continue to praise you for your tremendous kindness." He left the shul drain and returned to the doctor. He told the doctor that he was ready to go forward with the operation, but wanted to examine his eyes one more time before proceeding. The doctor re-examined his eyes and found, surprisingly, the danger was no longer there and the operation no longer needed. The author said that when he first heard this story, he related it to the Rav after his Sunday night shir. The Rav responded that he had just given someone this very piece of advice over Shabbos. Chazal said that first a person should praise Hashem and then daven. "What's that supposed to teach us?" the Rav asked. "That we should butter up Hashem before making a request of him?" "Not at all. It's about praising and thanking Hashem for the good he's done for us already, because that's precisely the correct way to daven. Let's praise Hashem for the wonderful years he gave us with the Rav, and daven that we should merit to live up to his ideals. We can be certain the Rav is watching with love from his place next to the Kisei Kavod and cheering us on." Thank you, Mrs. Knoll. I'd like to call Rav Aaron Avramowitz to say a few words.
Yeshus, the Rav, Rav Stein, the whole Kehila here. The Pasuk in Parshas Vayera says, Kedatu Ramana Sheitzaves, Banaves, Beise Acha, Vishamu Derech Hashem, Lasset Tzedakah Umishpat. So the Shaila here, what's, right, Avram, we're talking about Avram Avinu here, who already, Lech Lecha, went down to Mitzrayim, another Nisayan, he already did a bris. All like, and Hashem already said, Vehemin Bashem Vehshavelu Tzedakah. So what's like, Hashem says, Laman Yedatev, and Rashi explains, Yedatev, Mechabivoy, Makiroy. The Ramban explains, I was Megadol him. Bischus what? Bischus the fact that he, Yitzavez, Banavez, Beis Rachov, Viyodu Derech Hashem. The same question really is, you see in the Medrash Rabbah, in Shir Hashirim, and Vreishis Rabbah, the Medrash brings down the Pasuk, Och Islan Oktan Ushadai Mein Lo, Man Asel Achisayna B'yem Shidu Arba. Imchay Mei Yinubna Leo Teras Kesef, Ndelesi Natsu Leo Luach Arez. Ani Chayim Ushadai Ka Migdolis. The Medrash explains this Pasuk, talking about Avram Avinu. The Medrash says that Och Islan Oktan Ushadai Mein Lo, was talking about Avram Avinu in the beginning when he started Emuna, but Shadai Mein Lo, he still didn't have a lot of mitzvahs and meisim tovim. Talking about Ur Kasdim, that he was being thrown into the fire, there was a din in Shemayim, should he be saved or not? There was a din in Shemayim. The Pasuk says, If it's a chayma, if it's strong like a wall of a city, we'll build a tiras kesef, he'll be saved. And delicy, that it moves, it doesn't last, not so Luachores, which also doesn't last. Amar Avram, the pasuk says, "Ani chayma v'shadai kamigdalis." I'm strong, like a chayma, like a wall, for the next generation. V'shadai kamigdalis, that I'm going to be ma'amid kitei kitim of Davis, ma'isim tayvim, shetzadikim, shetol ham. And then the pasuk says, "Oz heisi beinu kamitzei shalom." That b'schus that he was saved. You see here the same idea, that he was saved b'schus the next generation. The shaila is like you have Avram Avinu here. Started Emunah, without him, there was nothing, and the biggest chus was the next generations. The Pasuk in Parshas Vayera says, Vayera Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov V'Kel Shakai, V'Shmei Hashem L'Nidati Lohem. So Rashi explains, Kel Shakai means Hashem promised to do, but V'Shmei Hashem L'Nidati Lohem, he didn't show them the Haftachas. He didn't show them that he was Mekayim the Haftachas, and that's the Shem Hashem. The Shem Kel Shakai means Hashem promises, and the Shem Yudke Vavke means Hashem is when Hashem is Mekayim his promise. Question is, Rabbi Yochanan asked basically two questions. One is, why does Hashem have to promise? I mean, Hashem doesn't change. Hashem doesn't change his mind. It's not something that Hashem is not a person, he doesn't change. What's the promise mean? What does Hashem promise? He does it, or it either happens or doesn't happen. That's the first one. Even if, let's say, we would say that Hashem promises is that a shvua, there is a musag of a shvua by Hashem, that after that it can be without a gzad, even if there's a gzad in, it won't change. It won't change. But still, why, we know, right, Shemus of Hashem doesn't mean, it's like, Hashem doesn't have nicknames. It's different midas of Hashem in this world, right? The Gimel midas of Rachmim. Each one is a different midah how Hashem runs the world. So that's why is this a special midah? Even if we understand that there's a certain a musag of a shvua by Hashem, why is this a midah of Hashem, like a specific midah? That's okay, so Hashem, however we understand that Hashem doesn't change, but it's not, why is that a special midah? So, explains to Rabbi Yochanan that it's really the other way around. Hashem promise is what creates it, right? We know as Basar Ma'amor is Nivra Ilam means Hashem. Amar Hashem, Hu Amar VaYehi. Hashem doesn't have to do anything; He says it and it happens. It's a Ratzon. That means when Hashem promises, that's really the Bekayach. That's really when it's created. There is a later midah of Hashem. Of us seeing it in the world. We don't always see it right away because that's how Hashem created the world. Hashem, it's not only happened, but when Hashem promises, that's when it happens. That's the bekayach of what Hashem promised. That's when it's happening. It's like I'm saying, he brings an example of a tree, right? You take the seed of the tree, in that seed is already the tree that's going to grow out of it. It's not like you put it in the ground and pops out a new tree. It's really bekayach already in that tree. You need to plant it. It needs to come out. But it really exists already. And that's what we say, Baruch Oymer V'Oys, also that same idea, is that Hashem Oymer, and then the Oys is a different part, but the real meat, the Kel Shaka, is the meat of Hashem promising. And that's, he explains that that's what Hashem was, the reason Hashem gives the Avot, spoke to the Avot, Bekel Shaka, whatever, was that's really the Midah of the Avos. The Midah of the Avos was Bekoyach. They were Bekoyach of the whole Klal. So it's really in them, right? We know about the Akedah, it says that any Mesiris Nefesh, any Yid does, is the Koyach of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, by the Akedah, the Mesiris Nefesh. That's what the Avos were all about. It was about the Koyach of the whole Klal, so that's going to be forever. And that's why, really, that's, there were other tzaddikim before Avraham Avinu. There was Noach, Shem, Eber. There were other tzaddikim. None of them became Klal Yisrael. None of them, because the Avos, that's all their koyach they put into the next generation. Like I'm saying, the pasuk says, Hashem says, "Al tiru Hashem zchorcha har b'me'id." What did Avraham Avinu say? "Mati ten li v'anoichi aleich aviviya." Avraham Avinu, his whole mahos was for the next generation to create Am Yisrael. Like the Rabban says, to create Am Yisrael, to create Emuna in the world, not only by him. As the Ramban says, "Vayikra Shem Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem." The schus of Avraham Avinu was that he was mefarsim the Emuna in the whole world. It wasn't only by him. Also, on that pasuk, Yedati Rashi also says, "Esher Tzivolav, Esher Tzivolav Avraham, Beis Avraham Leinemar LaAvraham." It's like a tree. If you take out the seed, the roots that come out of that seed, it's the whole tree is going to die. You have to have the Avraham there. The koyach has to stay there forever. It can't disappear. If you take out that seed, it's going to die. So, Rashi Yevamos brings down the makar for Yartzeit. Rashi says, "Rigli damirai." Gemara says, "Rigli damirai." Rashi says, "B'tshuvas agayin matzasi." Yem shemeis be'adam gadol kaveh meisel lechvaydei, and every year shemagei so yem is kabtsim talmid chacham mishar am uvoyim al kivay loheishiv yeshiva. So as Rabbi said, the Yartzeit gathering could be in a lot of places, but the Rav's koyach, the family here, the shul here, he put in all his koyches for it's all the seeds with all the seeds here of the Rav's koyach, the koyches he put into here, all the fruits from the Rav's seeds. The siyum here, everything is all the everything, the family, the shul, everything is the Rav taught us. It's all things that came out of the Rav's koyach. We should be zeiche to continue that legacy of the Rav, the koyches that he put in, and we should continue the koyches on. The family and berabim, like by Avraham Avinu it says. Also by Yitzchak and also by Yikra B'Shem Hashem to the tzibur. We should all be zeiche.
Rabbi Osan.
Rishus the Rabbanim, the Shul, Reb Tzvi thanked the family for coming, for doing the Azkara here. I would like to represent the family, Hakara Satoif, to the Shul, that every year is doing it something here. The pasuk says in our parsha, "Bayu chayi soro meor shono ve'esurim shono ve'sheva shonim shnei chayi soro." Sora lived 100 years and 20 years, 7 years, and then the pasuk says shnei chayi soro. Sounds like it's like a summary of the first. It says 100, then 20, then 7, and then a summary. So what is it coming to say? Rashi says, "Kulon shavin latoivo." The whole life, her whole life was a complete toiva. So I saw in the Sefer Masoi Ka'ar that there's a question, what does that mean? What does it mean, kulam shavim the toiva? She had a lot of hardships. She couldn't have children for many years. They had a rov. She was taken to Avimelech's house, to Beis Parai. So what does it mean, Kulam Shovin L'Toiva? So he brings over there an answer that the Kavona is for Ruchnias. Like her whole life is Shovin L'Toiva and Ruchnias and Avodas Hashem. But the question is that the Rambam holds, this is Machlokes Rishonim, if when did Avraham Avinu find the Kadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi brings that from when he was 3 years old. But the Rambam says it was a whole ta'alich. It started when he was 3 years old. And then he was searching. He was surrounded by Ovdei Kochavim. No one taught him who's Hashem. But he was searching and searching and for many years until he got to the age 40. So he only found the Kadosh Baruch Hu when he was 40. So until then, I don't know if he was Ovid Avodah Zarah, but he definitely was not Lichura, he was not Ovid Hashem. And Sarah was 10 years younger, so she was 30. So what does that mean? Again, so we're back to the question, that how could it be that her whole life was Shalem, Kulun Shalem L'Toivo, in Avodah Hashem? So, and that Sefer in Musa Ka'or, he says a verto. You do tshuva, he did tshuva. Mele, Zdoinois Nash, all the Averis become like Schuyas, Mele, everything is Avodah Hashem. I felt like it's Nagishmak, but. So, I thought similar to that, but in a different way. Not everybody would agree with what I'm about to say, but I think that any person that his whole life is busy, he cares about one thing, doing the right thing. And he's searching, and he makes mistakes, and it could take many, many years until he finds the right way. That's also Avodas Hashem. Even if on the way maybe there was Avodah Zarah and stuff, also those years that he was doing the wrong things, those are also part of Avodas Hashem. Once you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you found the right way. Maybe technically you have to do tshuva and the averus he did, but to summarize a person's life, sorry, Menu's life, to say Kulam Shovim L'Toivo, I think it's definitely true, even for those years that he did not know Hashem. So that was true by Avraham Avinu, that was true by Sarah Imenu. I was not zoiche to know Meshver too long, only 12 years. But I heard a lot, I'm going to hear soon some more. I just want to read a few words from the Sefer, Aruch Chaim Lemala Lemaskil. I'll try to read English. It is very hard to define Tati's life in a few short words. A life so full, both for the klal and on a personal level. After Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar, the Pasuk refers to him as an Eved Hashem. He had one defining trait. He lived for Hashem. Hashem was real before him, and everything was done with Hashem in mind. He had one goal in life, to do what Hashem wants. End of quote. So the Rav Zatzal had different tkufos in his life. He was an Avreich, then he was a Dayan, Magichir, a Rav, an editor. There's one thing that guided him the whole time, only doing Ratzon Hashem. And he was always ready and willing to change his maimed, to change his location, move there to Israel. So, That was the Ravin, who was a big person. So how could we change also? So I heard from a friend of mine a very smart thought. I would like to share it. Human nature is that we have a self-image. Everybody has a self-image. He is this kind of person, he's that kind of person. One person, his image is that he's a Talmud Chacham, and he sits and learns the whole day. So, and the other person, his image is maybe that he's not, or he's a working person. One person is a doctor, is a lawyer, a musician. Every person has like their own image, and based on their image, they do a lot of, maybe most of their actions. You know, take the tzaddik. Yeah, he's going to come to davening on time because in the back of his mind, that's who he is. He's a person that comes on time. Someone, you know, that behaves. He sees himself as a friendly person. He'll continue being friendly because he sees himself as that friendly kind of person. In that set of minds, it's hard to change because if you continue living and acting based on your self-image, then you have a certain image. Something needs to change. Like, but the truth is that one should not behave based on that, based on his self-image. It should just always think, what is the right thing for me to do now? Doesn't matter who I am, doesn't matter what I did in the past. Now I could learn a little bit. Now I could daven more b'chavono. Now I could give tzedakah. Anything that it's negiah to. If now I could do something good, now it's the right thing to do, I'm going to do that. And this is also a nekuda I think we could learn from the Rav Zatzal, that self-image was not something that he cared about. Not what other people think about him, not what he thinks about himself, I think. Just the only thing is, what's the emes? What's the right thing to do now? So we should be zoiche to continue going in his way, in that way.
Fakava to call upon a lifelong, dear, dear friend of Harav Zatzal, Harav Dovstein Shlita. Yeshus, the Lord, the Asher of David, Yeshus, the Melinos family, and Kola Kola Kolish. I'm not going to be hesped now, I gave many hespedim already. I'll say a short Dvar Torah, and then I'll say, try to learn a few things from it. This week, we learned about the Akedah. I think the central question when we learn about the Akedah is the Chura. Everyone would say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tapped you on the shoulder and said you have to go somewhere, you have to jump off the roof, you have to do it, whatever it was, if you really believe that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking, it's not a very big nisoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu do anything he wants. His hand is our life and our death. Everything, if you really believe, which Avram certainly did, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Manika Olam, and whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do is done, we don't really have such a big nisoyin. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu taps to the back and says, you have to do X, even though it's a very, very difficult thing, l'chur, everybody would do it. Rav Shach asked the question, in the very beginning of Abiyezri, and he answered the question with a Maral Diskin. Maral Diskin talks about Bilam. He brings the Gemara down in Matzechah Bava Basar. It says there that Moshe Rabbeinu Kosef Sifro Sefer Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah, and he also wrote the story of Bilam. And the obvious question is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Bilam? I mean, that's part of the Torah. So Rashi says that the Bilam is not really so relevant to our lives, and therefore it's necessary to say it's not exactly part of the Torah. So it has to be, it has to say that even that part of the Torah that's not exactly relevant to the Torah became, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that also. And the Rebbe Diskin says, it's very strange to say such a thing. We know that every word of the Torah is exactly the same, it has exactly the same kedusha as everything else. To say that Bilam's, the words of Bilam are not quite as kadosh as everything else is very strange. It means other possibilities, but Cholof is a very strange Gemara Lechura. Another question you can ask about Bilam is that it says that Lo kam b'Yisrael o kemoshe, b'Yisrael lo kam, but b'umas olam kam. Why Bilam? Bilam Lechura was not the biggest tzaddik in the world, certainly. And how is it that he got to the point of the pinnacle of Nevius, of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why Bilam? Mechatesi, that should be Bilam. A third question, he says, what was Bilam's havamina? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Ki Baruch Hu, you're not going to be able to curse Kal Yisrael. What are you going for, Bechalal? How did he think, possibly, and he told the Avde Bolak, he said, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it in my mouth, that's what I'll say. What was havamina to go? And the Rebbe Diskin says a very important yisod. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it mean that Bilam had the power, the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu saw his nevuah in a spaklayer and a ira. What does that mean? What's the difference between a spaklayer me'ira and a spaklayer sha'ina me'ira? He says that a spaklayer me'ira means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a person directly. And whatever he says, that's exactly what the person says. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every word in the Torah is directly the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other Navi, he gets a Mara Nevuah, and he has to take that Mara Nevuah, put it into his personality, and interpret that Mara Nevuah in a way that he understands it, and give out that Mara Nevuah. And that's a Asparklar Sheinam Ira, that the Nevuah comes not directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he has to take that Mara Nevuah, put it into his personality, understand it, and through his personality, give off what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to say. Now Bilam understood that his personality was not the greatest in the world. He understood he was going to take whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu said and twist it and contort it and say whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to look at the most terrible things Kal Yisrael ever did and say, because of that, Kal Yisrael deserves Kloya. And he was going to take whatever Mara Nevuah HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him and put it into the understanding that Kal Yisrael has to be destroyed. Now the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu could stop that was by putting the Nevuah of Moshe of Bilam into the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in that way, it wouldn't be possible to distort anything because he had to say exactly those words. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put those words in the mouth of Bilam, and he was able to get away from that problem that Bilam had, that Bilam wanted to distort the Nevuah that he got. It was not possible if it was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sifra with Sefer Bilam, because Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, even things that other Nevi'im said, what Avraham Avinu said, what Yitzchok said, what Yaakov said, all these were Nevi'os, but Moshe Rabbeinu brought those Nevu'os up from the Matzav of Espakalya Sha'ina Me'ira to the Matzav of Espakalya Me'ira. And it wasn't just taking the Nevuos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the other Nevi'im, and putting it into the Torah. He had to take that Nevuah and raise it up to the Matzav of an Ispaklayer Hame'ira, and that way he was Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Nevuah of Bilam, he didn't have to take anything. He just had to take it and paste, and that was all. He didn't have to say one word. He didn't have to bring it up. It was already at the level of Ispaklayer Me'ira. And the Rebbe Diskin says that's Pshat and Bilam. Ad kan divrei Amar El Diskin. Rav Shach says, with this we can understand what happened with Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu a nevuah, and Avraham Avinu was supposed to understand that he had to take Yitzchok to be makriv on the Mizbeach. Avraham Avinu had a lot of steers in this nevuah. He told him, ki v'yitzchok yikar l'chazara. He had all this history even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take his son and be makriv for a korban. It was something that was against the fabric of Avraham Avinu's teachings throughout his entire life. It was a steer to everything he did in his entire life. He had many reasons to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't really mean this. It must have meant something else. And if he wouldn't have gone into his deep feeling of emes and tried to get to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted, he would have been able to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't mean it. He said something, I have to interpret it slightly differently. It doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants me to take Yitzchak and be makir from the korban. It's impossible, and therefore I won't do it, because I have other possibilities, other ways of interpreting the Nevuah, and that's what I have to do. And the Nisayin of Avraham Avinu was that he had to take that Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and interpret it correctly and get up to the matzav of understanding exactly what the Ratzon Hashem was, and that way bring Yitzchak to the Mizbeach. Ad kan devir Rav Shach. The Rambam in his Tshuva in Perakei talks about that every person has a bechira chofshis. Every person has a possibility to do good and to do evil, and whatever he wants to, we can do. He says in Halacha Gimel, he says that dover zeh ikor godol ve'omud hatorah v'mitzvos. This idea, this thought, that each person has a bechira chofshis, he can decide whatever he wants to do, this is the foundation of the entire Torah. Because if a person can't decide what he wants to do, then how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanding different things for a person? He's doing it because he's programmed to do that. He doesn't have any choice. And so we have to say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has schar va'onesh, he has a chiyuv to do something, it must be predicated on the idea that there is a bechira chofshis. Every person has a choice to do whatever he wants. And a person has a bechar to bechayim, a person has an obligation to decide to do the correct thing. Now, I think it's very difficult to understand what this means. What is the correct thing? Everybody has a different idea of what is correct. We go out and we see every different philosophy in the world, by the goyim certainly, even by the Jews. We have so many different possibilities of being, even people who want to be Oved Hashem. We have so many different possibilities, so many different alternative interpretations of what it means to be Oved Hashem. How does a person decide what is the right thing to do? How can you possibly know what a person is supposed to do? And I understand that according to the Mishnah in Maseches Avos, it says, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yorim yotze me'achorev, u'machrezes oylohem labriyas me'abonim shel Torah. Every day a baskel comes out from our chorev and says, you know, woe is a person of Yabon Shel Torah, the degradation of Torah. Now, who hears this baskel? How is it possible to hear the baskel? Did anybody hear a baskel ever in his life? And if nobody heard it, what's it necessary to say a baskel for Bichlal? So I understand there are many, many Mepharshim who explain that this baskel is not something that comes out from our chorev. It's a baskel within each person, within each Jew. Every Yid has a baskel inside of him that's telling him exactly what to do. And all a person has to do is to somehow get into this baskel, somehow tune into this baskel, and when he gets into this baskel, he knows exactly what he's supposed to do. And the challenge of every person in the world is to tune into this baskel. Tuning into the baskel is not a simple thing. In order to tune into this baskel, a person has to take all the different external motives that he has and put them aside and to think only about one thing, and that's Avodah Hashem. I want Kirvas Hashem and only that. And a person who wants to have Kirvas Hashem, he'll get to Kirvas Hashem. Each person has a different challenge. I think the most important challenge in life is for a person to know what his real challenges are. I mean, one time I was in yeshiva in Muncie, running Bar Vaba, and Rav Shlomo Shadron came to Muncie. Rav Shlomo Shadron came, so it's always Simcha Vesos and early Yehudim. And people came to Rav Shalom and they asked him different etzes. A person came to Rav Shalom and he said, you know, I have a problem. He said, what's your problem? He says, you know, I have three kids. I have a house in Muncie, Baruch Hashem, Muncie. I have nice houses. I have three bedrooms. One bedroom I sleep. One bedroom my daughter sleeps. And I have one bedroom and two of my sons are sleeping. They're fighting all the time, and it's not good. They're causing rife and then screaming and yelling. I can wait to build another room. If I build another room, it means that I have to go and work extra hours, and it's going to take off from my learning. What's more kedai? Should I take off time for my learning and build an extra room, or should I leave it as it is? So Rav Shlomo said, my answer to you is to go to a psychiatrist. So he said, why a psychiatrist? So he said, well, I grew up in Yerushalayim, we had 10 kids. We had one room, that was a living room, and the bedroom, and the kitchen, and everything. And there was no problems, everybody got along together. I call you a beseder. If you can't get along with three kids in two rooms, then you go to a psychiatrist. So the story came back to yeshiva, and one of the Avreichim, very choshev Avreich, he told me, he said, I don't understand Rav Shlomo. It says in the Gemara that Hillel, he had an Oni ben Tovim, and he didn't have a horse in front of him, and Hillel went in front of him himself. If Hashem was there, he would have told him to go to a psychiatrist. What do you have to go with a horse and have a crier in front of you? Different people know different things. So I told him, if the person would have asked him for donation, he would have said, look, I have only 3 kids and 2 bedrooms, I need some money because I have to buy it. Hashem would have taken $1 out of his pocket and give it to him. He asked Hashem for an Eitzah. The Eitzah is, you probably don't need it. If you really need an Chinami, but a person who needs 3 bedrooms and 3 children, there's something not normal about him. So you really have to see what your problem is, what your psychological problem is. A person has to understand what his real needs in life are. If you understand what your real needs in life are, then you can adjust your life accordingly. Most people don't understand what their late need. If a person is takes too much, he's doing himself an injustice. A person who takes too little, he's also doing himself an injustice. It says by Nazir that Asher Choto La Nefesh, a Nazir is chayv to be karen chatos because he made an avera that he deprived himself of wine. On the other hand, it says that a Nazir, it says Nazir Kodosh Kodosh Hu Hashem, a Nazir has a kedusha. It says in almost bringing the pasuk. It says that va'etein as b'neichem neviim ve'as bachureichem nazirim. It seems that a nazir is a very, very great thing. So, what is it, a chet or is it a great thing? So, the answer is the Rambam Lachur says that it depends who it is. If it's a person who feels deprived by not drinking wine, then he's a chote. A person who can withstand not drinking wine and it will uplift him, that person is a kadosh. Every person has a different challenge in life. To understand what that challenge is, we have to dig very, very deeply and hear the Baskol. And the Baskol is telling every single person what his real needs are and where he's supposed to be going and what he really has to do. And if he really looks at things in the proper way, he understands that his whole megama, his entire purpose in life is only to be over to Hashem. And he can get into his real personality, can dig deep into his real inner soul and understand what that is, then he'll get to the real truth. And every person can get there. That's, I think, that's the ikar of the yesod of the Rambam. This ikar zeh, this is an ikar and a yesod ha-Torah that every person can get to there. If he really, really tries, he can get there. The ma'is, every person has to understand what halacha is, he has to understand what he has to do. I think it's a little dangerous to say that every person really has within himself to know exactly what to do. For most of us, knowing what to do is to be able to ask the right Rav, to have to go to a Rav who's Yirei Shamayim and a Talmud Chacham and a person who's Doresh HaEmes and to do according to what he says. That's the real challenge of most people. There are some people, though, who can understand things differently. They understand things directly. They can understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants of them. They can understand what Aloha is. They can understand what exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of them and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to pask in Shailis and exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of them. Rabbi Malinowitz, who is my very, very dear friend, I saw many, many different times in his life. I saw that he was a person who was very, very extremely closely attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad kidekach that he saw the emes. I just want to say a few stories about him. I remember when he came, when his mother was nifter. I think it was mother was nifter, and maybe his father. I think it was when his mother was nifter. He had a certain shayla of exactly when he would start shiva. He was going back to America, and there they were starting before because they were sending the aron. He came to Eretz Yisrael. And the shayla was if you should go back and continue the avelus together with the gadol abayis, exactly who the gadol abayis was. I think his father was nifter. B'chol ofen, I'm not sure exactly what the shayla was. So I said, look, there was a tshuva negus moshe about this question. So he said, you know, I can't do things where Moshe says. I have to think myself. I have to go through the sugi. I have to understand what the sugi is. I can't just take a tshuva negus moshe and say, okay, fine, that's what Moshe says, we're going to do it. I have to go through the sugi, I have to tuduch the sugi and understand exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me, and only then I can do it. I was misspoiled from his understanding of exactly where he was going, what he was doing. I wouldn't suggest anyone to do exactly that. Tshuva negus moshe is obviously a very, very good source of what's necessary. But a person who really understands what halacha is, a person who understands what he's supposed to be doing, and exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen is, he has that obligation to go into things and to understand for himself exactly what he's supposed to do. He never looked at most people sort of flow with the tide. And whatever people are doing, they try to do approximately what everyone else is doing. They don't want to look too strange. And that's usually what people do. They look around and they see, well, this guy is doing this, this is doing that. So Mishtama, most people are doing that way, that's what we'll do. Rabbi Yonah never had that idea. He always had to look at things and do exactly what was correct. We just finished Shnas HaShemitah. I remember, I think it was 21 years ago that we're talking and we're saying that, look, you know, people are getting the fruit from the goyim, and why should you get fruit from the goyim? We get from Jews, and we decided that we would go to different rabbonim and try to make some sort of an otzer bezdin and get fruit from Jews, b'derech heter, of course, according to what the Chazon Ish used to say, and in that way we would supply our kehillos with what we needed for Shemitah. And went to different rabbonim, they agreed, and then they petered out. And b'sofo shel davar, only Rabbi Milinowitz is left. And we went and we did things alone. It was very, very difficult. We had to go together with Otzer Haaretz. It was run by people who were not exactly in the same, they didn't wear the same yarmulke as Rabbi Milinowitz did. We went all the way up to the Galil. We went to see the different places where the fruits were growing, because he would not be somech on anyone to make sure that things were done in exactly the proper way. Atke dikach, we had a mashgiach, he paid for the mashgiach. We had a mashgiach going after them to make sure that what they were doing was exactly correct. And so he didn't do things that were accepted and what was with things that were usual. He did things that were exactly correct. He never was able, he never was willing to go along with everyone else and do things, because that's things that people would normally do. He was in when there was the whole giving up of Gush Katif. I remember he was not able to withstand the bizoyin of giving back parts of Eretz Yisrael. It was not exactly the Haredi idea, but Avraham Avinu, he went to all the demonstrations and he went and he tried as much as he could, because he loved Eretz Yisrael so much, to try to make sure that Eretz Yisrael was not given up. And even though he understood that his actions were pretty futile, Avraham Avinu, he did not stop, and he didn't leave any koach in his body that would possibly leave any doubt that this is the most important thing to do in the world. He was a person who lived with emes, whether it was learning a sugya, trying to get the pshat emes in a sugya, trying to pask in a shayla correctly. He wouldn't be somech on himself always. He would ask 10 rabbonim what they thought here and what they thought there, and 10 doctors and 10 experts. He would always make sure that he understood exactly what was happening, and he would never pask in a shayla until he was 100% sure this was exactly correct. In his derech hachayim, he had to make sure that what he was doing was exactly correct, and that was the emes. He was able to get to that baskol that was within himself and get to the understanding exactly what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to go. I think he was, for myself, he was certainly an aur that I looked upon as a guiding factor in my life in many, many, many different places. When we were young boys together, when we were yeshiva together, when we were rabbonim together, we developed together, and I miss him terribly. Every time I have to pask in a shayil, every time I have different things, whether it was corona or many, many other things that happened in the past few years, I was always thinking, what would Rabbi Lewis have said in this instance? We don't have Rabbi Lewis to ask anymore, but we do have his guidance, what he gave us, all the different ideas he gave us, all of the different hanchayot he gave us. I think that everyone here certainly got a great deal from his guidance, from his understanding, from his example of his bakoshas ha'emes, the bakoshas ha'emes that he had, and the close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the only thing he cared about was only kirvas Hashem, only trying to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And in that way, I think if we take that idea, the aspect of his personality, the aspect of his character, and implement it among in our own personality and character, I think we'll all get closer and closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we'll all be zochah to the Gula Shleim Baruch Hu anyway.
Okay, the ladies will be saying Tehillim now, and Ezas Nashim. As was announced, the family, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow will be going to the Rav Zatzal's Kev in Rehovot around 9:30 tomorrow. I think some members also will be going if you want to get rides with others. I just wanted to thank everybody again for coming, for everyone who spoke and shared, for everyone who learned, and just Meretz Hashem tonight and all the lessons that we learned from the Rav and we live with from the Rav should be a zechus leiv neshama for the Rav Zitzal. And Meretz Hashem, we should be zochet to the Gula Shleima Beira.